The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 38. These are the words of Jesus. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You are holy. You might be thinking, wait a minute, preacher, only God is holy, only God is perfect. And I would agree with you, except that it's right here written in the Bible, in both the Old Testament reading from Leviticus and the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, that word holy is used to describe people of faith. And our gospel lesson says, in Jesus' words, something that sounds very much like holy, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Everyone knows that God alone is holy and perfect, and we have a pretty good sense that we are not. My earliest memories of the word holy are in church singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, as we did this morning. Only thou art holy, blessed Trinity. It's fine that God is holy, but don't put that on us. The church of my upbringing was careful to leave holiness to God and let us be human. So it is a bit perplexing to read this text or these texts from Leviticus, where Moses is telling the people of Israel that they are holy, and to find St. Paul telling a little Corinthian church made up of the low and despised in the world that it is a holy temple. Except for those in the holiness church tradition, most of us believe that true holiness is reserved for a few exceptional people like Mother Teresa or His Holiness Pope Francis or the Dalai Lama and perhaps a few others. Those holy people are far removed from our world. They do with their lives what we do not claim to be able to do in our lives. We don't measure up. In the early chapters of the book of Leviticus, there was an emphasis upon the holiness of the people in terms of their religious rituals. Holiness was a special responsibility of the priests rather than the people in general. There were special rules about keeping a safe distance from the Holy of Holies in the temple or in the tabernacle. There were special rules about the proper way to wash your hands when you came to worship, or what is acceptable when you bring a sacrifice to the Lord. But in today's text from chapter 19 of Leviticus, there comes a section in that book called the Holiness Code. This call to holiness was not so much directed only to the priests who guarded the holiness of God in the sanctuary of worship, but to the whole congregation. The emphasis changed from a holiness that comes through religious ritual guarded by the priests to an emphasis upon the moral behavior of the whole congregation that could be called holy. Defrauding your neighbor, not paying your workers, failing to help the poor, made you impure. Holiness was not just relegated to a religious ritual or coming to worship, but instead to everyday personal behavior and social conduct. That is the way you are holy. Now, I suspect that our uneasiness about being called holy comes partly from our fear of the sin of pride. We are keenly suspicious when anyone claims to be holy or perfect. There is an expression we use to describe those who take pride in their goodness. We call them holier-than-thou people. And if someone claims to be righteous, we instinctively add the prefix self. They are self-righteous. Not a good thing. Although this modesty to avoid claiming holiness might be admired, it sounds a lot like humility. Our scripture readings today seem to disagree. We're not off the hook for being holy. Being holy is what any person created in the image of God is called to be and to do. Maybe what we really fear is the challenge of meeting this high standard of behavior and daring to be different from others. We'd rather fit in than stand out. We don't want to be oddballs. We'd rather go along to get along. And yet each of this Sunday's text proclaim that the church is to aim higher, to be a distinctive witness of a people who mirror the holiness of God. The Lord says that the vocation of a holy people is to love your neighbor as yourself. We have imagined that this neighbor love is a kind of universal human inclination. Everybody should do this. All we have to do is love our neighbor. Sounds easy. But then we read the specifics in Leviticus. No seeking revenge, no bearing grudges, no showing partiality, no profiting at another's expense, no keeping your crops or profits only to yourself, no oppressing of foreigners in your land. This is hard. It holds us to a higher standard. And then Jesus ups the ante. You have heard that it was said, he said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We don't spend a lot of time on this text because we really don't know what it means to love our enemies. First of all, we're confused about who our enemies are. Maybe we assume that true Christians should have no enemies. On the other hand, don't we sometimes make enemies in the process of trying to follow Jesus? And what about enemies who would do us harm? Don't we have to defend ourselves? How can we love them? Jesus says anybody can love their friends, because that's natural. The real measure of gospel love is the ability to drum up some compassion for those with whom we don't share dinner, or those we don't agree with, or those who are different from us. Loving them is the real challenge. In other words, we are called to look at people through the eyes of God. That's probably the reason for that verse 45 in the gospel text about God sending sunshine and rain on good and people alike, good and bad people alike. It's probably there to remind us of God's common grace, as we call it. This is a fallen world chock full of people who don't give God the time of day, and still God sends gifts, talents, love, virtue, successful businesses, and healthy crops to all kinds of people, good and bad. If God can do that, shouldn't we work hard at recognizing our common humanity with all people? Jesus says, you need to be perfect, like God is perfect. Now, he doesn't use the word perfect in a holier-than-thou sense. The Greek word, teleos, translated perfect, has more the sense of aspiring to be like God. The end result, more complete, more perfect. It is a wholehearted commitment to God's creation and to every person in it. Our purpose in life is not first and foremost to get all we can out of life for ourselves, but what we can give to life and give life to all people, and to promote the goal of the kingdom of heaven. Now, none of this is meant to deny the difficulty of this. None of us is meant to sweep under the pulpit the fact that sometimes people wound us so badly that we can at best love them only at a distance. None of this is meant to deny that we need to allow the government to stop people from doing us harm or defending us and punishing those who engage in criminal activity. And none of us, this is meant to deny that sometimes the process of forgiveness and reconciliation can take years, and sometimes the process is never complete. Time does not heal all wounds, but it can, by God's grace, take away some of the separation and the pain. But all of this is meant to say that in the midst of a world of bad people and genuine enemies and uncaring citizens and hate groups and even cantankerous family members, God is trying to make us more holy and perfect. And we need all the help we can get. And now to him who, by the power at work within us, is able to do far more than we can ask or accomplish, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.